Today we're going to go on a little journey. And my spirit was suspended in this place, and I was just looking into this glorious realm, and just one revelation after another, after another, after another, after another. Hallelujah. I know you're going to like this today. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, "Let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, the fowl of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image, in the image of God created him. Well, you know, man fell from that image, but it didn't change the plan of God, because God's plan was always to make us in his image, conform us to his image, develop and grow us up into his image. And so he immediately set in, as we know, his plan of redemption to restore man to his image. And that's what I want to talk about today, is the image, where that transformation takes place. Obviously, it doesn't take place here. We can walk 50 years in church and not be conformed to his image. One of the primary ways that God has been conforming us to his image is a very slow, methodical, painful way, is through testing and trials. Anybody ever been changed through testing and trials? God never wastes a good trial. You shouldn't either. He'll never waste a good trial. Believe me, he's working something in you for every step that you take. But that is not his best way. That's just the way that we normally leave it to him to do. And so I want to talk to you about another way to be conformed to his image. I started looking into this partially this week. I'm pretty amazed at the level of God's word and its ability to open arenas that we can't see and open up realms we can't see, because you can't find the deep realms of God in your mind. You can't find them in your intellect. You can't find them in your soul. You can't even find them in your hunger alone. Hunger will lead you to his word, but his word, not the knowledge of his word, because the knowledge of the word we'll give you certain things. It's the revelation. How many know the difference between revelation and knowledge? It's the revelation of his word, the inspired word, the living word, the rhema word, that opens something to you that you couldn't see before. And that's what we need. Or we're going to keep going on about how we do business. We have to come into something we have not presently seen before. With that said, I want you to go to Romans 8 for a moment. Romans 8, verse 29, says, "For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate," look at this, "to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." He foreknew everybody. God just didn't predestinate a few and the rest of them he left out. Everybody's been predestinated to be conformed to the image of his son, because that was the original plan of God. And God set his plan back in motion when man fell. When man fell, a lot of detrimental things happen to us. A lot of things we can't see even when we think we can see. That's the problem. We think we can see when we can't see. We think we have something when we don't really have anything. And because we think we have something, we go on with what we have instead of what he wants us to have. So God reset his plan, he reset to conform us and predestinated the whole world all over again. The whole Adamic race, he goes, "I'm going to reset you. I'm going to predestinate the world to be conformed to the image of my son. I'm going to bring my son. He's going to die on the cross, and I'm going to reconcile everybody back to where we were in the beginning. So we can get started again where I wanted you to go from the beginning." So God had to deal with the fall aspect. In dealing the fall, he predestinated us to be what? Conformed to his image. Question is where Are we being conformed? Where is this confirmation, this transformation? Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I know, because the word tells us there is a place of transformation. It's a place that we actually move from glory to glory, not from trial to trial. It's a place that we move and expand and accelerate in God. 2 Corinthians 3:18. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. Look at that, with open face. We're not veiled. That old chapter was differentiating between the law and the new covenant. Under the law, where they were veiled, they couldn't steadfastly look into the glory of God. Moses had to put a veil on his face when he spoke to people, because under the dispensation, the law couldn't carry him in. But now we're open faced. He removed the veil, and the veil was spiritual death. And when it was removed, when that veil was removed, we could look into the glorious liberty of the children of God, or the sons of God, with open face. We all, with open face, look what it says here, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord. The glory of the Lord are changed, look at this, from the same image. See the image? The image of His glory. From glory to glory. God is still working His plan to transform and conform us to His image. And what that means to you. But more importantly is, where does the power of that transformation live? Where does the power to be transformed into His image? We've been talking about this place of exchange. It's this place of exchange where God freely invites us now to the throne of grace to exchange our weaknesses for His strength, to exchange our dishonor and reproach for His honor, to exchange our poverty for His riches. An exchanging of our insufficiency for His sufficiency, but that's a very real exchange. I had a realm open this week, just glorious. See, the things of God, if you're waiting on God, you're going to wait for a long time. You have to enter into the things of God. And you have to enter in His way. And when you enter into the things of God, it moves from one position of glory to another position of glory. Otherwise, you're going to get stuck. When we get stuck, lethargy will set in. Religion will set in. We're not going to get stuck in this place. Amen. We are called to go from glory to glory. And the way we do that is we stay very close to Him and let Him train us how to move in from glory. But I'm finding a place of exchange now. Our first introduction to what we would call the right hand of God, throne of grace, secret place of the Most High, was access, entrance, identification. We were supposed to all be on the same train together, not just listening and hearing, but doing, partaking. He wasn't just stopping at access and entrance and discovery. Discovering what all was there. Discovering what was in that place. The Bible says you're made partakers. To partake, you partake of the heavenly calling. The Bible says you're partakers of the inheritance of the saints. Where? In the light. There's an inheritance that we're called to partake of. But we're not called to just hear. We were called to move towards it. Enter into access. Because if we don't develop our access, we're not going to get what's in there, because I'm finding out now there's a whole lot in there, a whole lot more than I thought. But if we can't even know how to get there, the Bible says, come boldly to the throne of grace. Close your eyes and think, well, what does that mean? Where is the throne of grace? How do I go there? How do I get there? How do I know if I'm there? What's there? If we don't know how to get there, you don't arrive to the place where the exchange is made. It says, come therefore boldly unto the throne of grace to find grace and help in your time of need. There's grace there. Then we have to find out the identification stage. What is grace? What is grace? Well, it's God's unmerited favor. I read that book too. It's God's unlimited favor. I know that. I read that one. It's God's immeasurable favor. It's a free gift. Read that part too. Grace is one word that describes everything that he inherited for you on the behalf of you, whether he inherited when he ascended into the Father, whether he inherited through substitution, identification, became your sin, gave you his righteousness, bore your healing, your sins. Surely he has borne our sickness and carried our pains so he could give you health, divine health. Bore our stripes that you could be made whole. Stood dumb before the shearers. That was actually a substitution, by the way. Before the Sanhedrin, when they were accusing him, he stood dumb, withheld, zipped. He could have released his wisdom right there and delivered himself just like that. He could have started with Genesis all the way to Revelation and put every single one of those Pharisees in their true seat. He could have put them on their blessed assurance. He could have done that. He withheld it. He stood dumb before the shears. Jesus has been made unto us wisdom. Why? Because he substituted himself in our behalf. He stood dumb, cost the penalty of his life. And therefore, God can freely give us wisdom now. Everything he substituted on our behalf is what he then received. Know you the grace, say grace, of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake, say your sake, my sake, became poor, that through his poverty I've been made rich. That's a phenomenal substitution. Came out of glory. A king. Wealthiest king ever. Stripped down naked before humanity. Every earthly possession. Even parted his garments. And God the Father allowed him to be suspended. Naked upon that cross. Stripped down to poverty. And bore the poverty. Became our poverty, clothed in our poverty. A king of kings, a glorious king, stood in our shoes. That was a substitution so he could freely give us the standing of his grace in that area. So grace surmises everything. It's a throne that he administrates as a mediator, as an intercessor, as the heir, the appointed heir of the Father. It pleased the Father that in him all fullness would dwell. So he has it all and he shares it all. It's the question is how we make that exchange. How do we get a hold of that grace? Because we all need it. Well, I just need his grace to get through the day. You say that because that's your only understanding of grace. His grace is a whole lot more to get you through the day. His grace can exchange the product of your life to become all that he is. And this is what I was looking into last night. That's because we think we got to still work for it. We still think we got to somehow one day it'll just show up when it's already there. If you hadn't been on the train of entrance and access, then what happened? You're getting stopped at the door. And we found out that these thieves, they stand at the doorway. It says, the thief cometh not but to steal, kill, and destroy. Do you know he put that right after he spoke about, I am the door. If by me any man entereth in, he will be saved. And, say and, we'll go in and out. That's after you're saved. You go in and out. What am I going in and out of my salvation? No. You're going in and out of this access portal, in and out of the throne of grace, in and out of the right hand of God. You're going in to be clothed. You're going in to be transformed. You're going in to be conformed to his image. You come back out. But those thieves stand there because they want to keep you in you. They want to keep you clothed in what you're presently clothed in. Because the power of that transformation doesn't live in this jurisdiction. Now, God will have his servants come and bring what they can bring. Amen? And that's what we do. You know, the conferences and church and ministries and meetings, we bring what we can bring. But the power of this gospel is living there. And it's the light of God's word that opens the realm. And I just had another one open. I realize now that we don't have to spend a lifetime through testing and trials, conforming. I know that his transformation lives in that realm and we can be clothed. I don't know how I know that now. I just know it. I know that I can take off anything that's not lining up with a throne of grace. I know that I can exchange poverty. Now, I may not be able to do it in a day, but I'm going there every day now. And I'm going to exchange and take some things off because we wear things and we don't know it. You know, you can wear generational bondage and look just like your mama and daddy and grandfather and grandma and the same things they struggle with, you struggle with. You know, you can wear that stuff and not know you're wearing it. But you know that also we can exchange generational bondage to wear eternal glory, to wear eternal favor, to wear eternal life, honor. Some of us have suffered a lot of reproach. You know, you can wear reproach when someone tramples your life. And in this life, you probably get trampled. You minister the gospel, there's a good chance somebody's going to trample you. 99.9%. Listen, there's an place of exchange. Because when you go through things and people trample you, yeah, you can get back up. But sometimes you're wearing something you don't know you're wearing. And sometimes you got it on you. Sometimes someone spoke something over you all your lifetime as a child, and you're wearing failure, and you don't know why nothing ever works out for you. You attract things. And as hard as you're trying to prosper and succeed, you're wearing something, and it keeps dragging you down. You got something on you. Well, we just cast it off. Well, sometimes it's so integrated because it's been there so long. It's going to take a stripping away and a power to strip that away and replace it with a new identity. But there's a place you can take that off. Some of you are operating in five generations of poverty, and you're just bound and determined that it's going to stop with your family. Five generations deep of poverty. And you know why? Every time you turn around, something is going wrong again, again, and again. You know God. You might be an intercessor. You can pray, but you can't get that off. No matter what you've tried to do, you can't get it off. You've tried to sozo it off. You tried to cast it off. You tried to rebuke it off. Then you go try to start some business to work it off, but you're wearing it. I found a place that there is power to make that exchange. And I'm going there every day because I got some things I want to take off. And I want some things I want to put on. I want to take off the reproach of my past. And I want to put his honor on. And I want to wear his glory. Even when 50,000 people say you can't wear his glory, I'm going to wear it anyway. Because I'm going to take off what was been said. I'm going to take off what I grew up with. I'm going to take off whatever is standing between me and being clothed in His honor. Because His honor is part of His inheritance. Worthy is the Lamb to receive what? Power, riches, wisdom, strength, honor, glory, and blessing. The sevenfold inheritance of the King. That is your inheritance in the light. We are partakers of the inheritance. What did he tell Paul when he stood up in front of him? I've called you for this purpose, to bear witness of what you're seeing today, Paul, and preach inheritance. He said, go and preach inheritance. Go tell my people now they have an inheritance in me. Well, I don't believe I can wear things. Well, Isaiah 61 will contradict what you believe. It says, to point unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Heaviness is clothing put upon you, either by the devil or people, or trials, or disobedience, and you wear it. And until you get to a place that God takes that off, a place where he takes it off. See, the throne of grace is the place of exchange for all of us. It's the place where he's going to take us and make us supernatural. He's going to take our inabilities and remove them. And he's going to give us his ability, free, unmerited honor, free, unmerited riches, free, unmerited power. But there's a problem. And it's easier for me to show it to you in the Word. Luke chapter 15. I want to look at the real issue, what God was trying to bring out with him. I mean, I know the Father ran to him, but I want to look at this in a brand new way today. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter 15, we'll pick it up in verse 11. Said he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said unto his father, Father, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me, and he divided unto them his living, so they received their inheritance. And not many days after, younger son gathered all together, did what a young son would do. Young man, void of understanding, really, took his journey into far country there, wasted his substance with riotous living. You know the story. And when he had spent all, there arose a mighty famine in the land. He began to be in want. So he squandered his inheritance, fell hard, lost everything, came to his senses. And that's where we'll pick it up. And he went and joined himself to a citizen, verse 15, of that country, and sent him into the fields to feed swine. Look how low can you go? The problem is, you have a fall like that. You can look at this as the fall of mankind in the first place. Adam had an inheritance, lost it. Look how low humanity can go. He was just wanting to be fed with a corn husk that the pigs were eating. You can go low. And then you can come out of it. Now, he came out of it, but he came out of it with a problem. A big problem. At least he returned to his father's house, but he had a big problem. Verse 17, and when he came to himself, everybody's got to come to them. How many of you ever done that? You're on the mountain with God and you somehow lost it, just maybe novice in certain things, or the enemy just took advantage of you. And all of a sudden you just went through a season being indifferent, didn't care, complacent, no fire, you know, just strolling along. Everything just being broken, boards being ripped off your house. You know what I'm talking about. All of a sudden you come to yourself. Man, what is going on? You were in the arena in the beginning. Yeah, you ready to go. And all of a sudden, I mean, you get your clock clean, basically. Anybody ever had their clock clean? You know what I'm talking about? When you get your clock clean spiritually, and you find out you ain't all that. Everybody's got to go through that somehow to find out you ain't all that. You got to come to that place because you got to find out he's all that. You ain't all that, but he's all that. I remember when I was 2 years old in the Lord, I knew everything because I prayed in tongues. And I listened to Dave Roberson tapes, so I knew everything. I was in Chattanooga, and this preacher, I was standing there. We were in a hotel. We were at a Norval Hayes conference there in Chattanooga. This preacher was standing there. He was an aged preacher. When I was a young man, we were looking out over a balcony. It was a big atrium hotel, and he was standing next to me. And he goes, man, I'm really going through it. I said, I don't even know what you're talking about. He goes, oh, you don't? I said, I don't have problems like that. That's what I said. I didn't have any problems with pride or anything. I don't have problems like that. I know God. Do you want me to pray for you? He said, son, he goes, there'll be a day that you'll understand what I'm talking about. But today is not that day. Yep. So when you get your clock clean, you find out you're not all that. You have to come to your senses. You come back to the Father. The problem is you're coming back with something on you. And he had something on him that it appeared like it was humility. And there was true humility because he'd been broken. And there is a brokenness, but you cannot wear brokenness like that forever. Watch what he came back with. Because this is the problem, because we have whole churches full of this, that people are coming back, but they are wearing their fall. They're wearing their trial. And God spoke to me, says, you are still wearing things and you don't know it. I said, well, I'm going to get it off. He says, you're not going to get it off, but I'm going to get it off. He goes, but I want to show you where I take that off. Until we are operating in fullness of revival, I'm quite certain that every one of us has something to take off, whether we can see it or not. Now, watch this. When he came to himself, verse 17, he said, how many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger? I will rise and go to my father. That was the best decision he ever made. And I will say unto the father, I have sinned against heaven and before thee. So far, so good. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me one of thy hired servants. He was wearing now unworthiness. He lost his image. And because of that, he was wearing shame. You know, the father could have just forgiven him and invited him in his house. That's what we do. Hey, we forgive you. God bless you. And then we leave them clothed in unworthiness, shame, condemnation, more importantly, those of us that have lost our image, we don't know who we are. Because I just want to be a hired servant in your house. That's what I want. I'm a hired servant now. I'm a servant. I'm no more worthy to be called a son. That's not the first time he said that. He says it again because it was instilled into him. And that's the problem with the trials that we go through. We lose our image. There are certain things that need to be lost in the natural, crucified with Christ. But there are certain things that cannot be lost. And if they are lost, we lose the essence of which he died for us. To conform us to his image, predestinated us to the cross, predestinated us to be transformed to his image, calls us up to be conformed. When we lose that image and I'm no longer worthy, we wear unworthiness. We wear shame, dishonor, reproach of men. You'll bear the reproach of Christ. But when we start wearing the reproach of men, wearing rejection. You ever met somebody who wears rejection? God didn't put that on them. People put it on them. The devil put it on them, and they're wearing it. It's a spiritual garment that they wear. And in that, until that is taken off, they cannot see their inheritance. Some people will wear it a lifetime. Verse 18, I will arise and go to my father and say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. Lost his image. Exactly what happened to Adam and the Adamic race. The whole world lost their image. They lost their purpose. They don't know their sons because they're fallen. And he arose and came to his father, verse 20, and when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. Oh, don't you love the father? See, when you come back to God, you'll return unto me, I'll return unto you. Except God's calling us to return to someplace higher now. Not just return to a church. Not just return to an altar. That's the first place is to return. Forgiveness. Forgiveness is your first stage. That's where we leave everybody. Okay, you're forgiven, but just stay clothed the rest of your life. We got to take off everything. We got to get them further than this altar right here. We got to get them further than just looking at us. We got to bring them further than just the forgiveness. Yes, you're forgiven, but now we got to take off that clothing and let's get you reinstituted into the purpose of the Father. To be conformed to the image of the Son, not to wear that the rest of your life. The question is, what are you wearing? The problem is sometimes you don't know what you're wearing because we haven't come into enough light to know what we're wearing. It's only when we come into the light we know what we're wearing. Sometimes we're wearing the reproach of past relationships. We're wearing reproach that was put upon us with man, and we call it the reproach of Christ. I'll wear gladly the reproach of Christ, but I refuse now to wear the reproach of men or the words of men or the opinions of man. I won't wear it no more because I know where to take it off. I want to wear his honor. I want the honor that comes from God and not man. And I want to come and wear his honor, and I know where to wear his honor. I want to take off the old. It says, put off the old man, put on the new. You have power to put off and put on. The problem is you don't do that here in this jurisdiction, because if you try to do that here, there's nothing that takes place. All that takes place in a place called in Christ, throne of grace, right hand of God. That place, the throne of grace, is where that exchange is made. It's more than just having a little bit of grace for your day. There's an exchange. It can take off 20 years off your life. It's been destroying, wearing a garment of destruction, a garment of reproach, a garment of dishonor. And everywhere you go, it's just dishonor all the time. How about a robe of failure? No matter how hard you try, you just keep failing. And nobody tries as hard as you. And you go before the council and says, I try, I pray, I give, I love, and I keep failing. And no matter what I do, it falls apart. You are wearing a robe of failure. And you haven't found the place to take it off. You haven't found enough power to take it off. Sometimes the church is not operating in enough power to take off these things. Sometimes we are operating in power. We can take certain things off, but other things stay. How about when we come to the place that we're worthy enough as sons to wear his power again? I cannot approach him unworthy. It's an injustice to the blood of Jesus. Even when I feel unworthy, I cannot approach him that way. I cannot approach him in an unworthy man. I have to approach him knowing that I'm accepted. Knowing that in you I am righteous. Knowing that in you I am full of peace. Knowing that in you I can be full of love. No matter what kind of rascal I've been, I can exchange the old. If I don't, I'm going to sit back here and just keep wearing the guilt and shame and condemnation of never measuring up to be a son. I am not worthy to be your son. I'm not worthy to approach you. You never will like that. That stuff will keep you bound. I'm no more worthy. He says it again in verse 21, twice. It's in him now. It's set up into him. You get something set up into somebody, it's hard to take it off. And he said unto his father, I've sinned against heaven in thy sight. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. You ever gone up before God and said, I'm not worthy, Lord? You don't get very far like that. That's the problem. That's the image. There's an image problem. Church has an image problem. So what we perfect the outside, cover up the inside. And the biggest problem is we don't know where this exchange or how to get positioned for this kind of exchange. But God does. Look at the heart of God in this parable. The father runs to him. He says, no, I will not accept that. You're not going to live in my house wearing that. Bring the best robe. Bring a brand new pair of shoes. Bring a new ring. My son has returned home. You are not a servant in my house. You are a son in my house. And let's get that straight right now. That's when you get up into his presence. That's what he's going to do. No, no, no. You're a son. First thing he's due, I've been sent to conform you to the image of my son. Take off the old. Put off the old man. Put off. Be clothed in the armor of light. Be a partaker of the heavenly calling. Be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in light. Put on the new man. That's clothing. It's spiritual clothing, and it's very real. Put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. There are very real garments that we wear. Some of them are so integrated into our personality, it's going to take his dividing sword to remove it. Sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing asunder. We're going to just carve that right out. We're going to separate that right up out of you. Send a sword. You get up in enough light, it'll chase the darkness away. We're going to divide that right up out of your DNA, right up out of your personality. That's even who you thought you were. We're going to divide that out. I am not going to let you sit up in my house wearing unworthiness. The elder son wanted him to wear the unworthiness. The elder son said, you didn't bring a fanny cam for me. God was dealing much more. First thing he wanted to do is strip the unworthiness away from him. Put a new robe. Clothe him in his sonship. Put a ring. Put shoes on him. My son must know who he is in my house. He must know who he is. I can't let him sit up in my house wearing that stuff. That's what we do. He's got to put a ring, a signet ring of authority. I'm going to put a new robe. Take that reproach off of him right now. That's the Father's heart. That's what he's going to do. That's what happens in the true house of God. This is not the house of God. This is where we meet. The house of God is in the heavens. We have an altar to eat from the day that served the old tabernacle had no rights to.
We can come and partake of the true house of God. When you get in that house, that's the way the Father's going to respond. Somebody needs to say amen. We're going to get up in there, and that's the way the Father's going to respond every time. Oh, no, 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 we're taking that off. That's why he says, humble yourself under the mighty right hand of God. Come in. Come in. Come under. We're going to take some things off. We're going to exchange your weaknesses. 5 years of running, we'll take that garment off in one session. 10 years of unworthiness, we'll take that off in one session. This is how the church is going to move to without spot and wrinkle. Without spot and wrinkle, as the church is coming up into the right hand. We're coming up into the, we're going to feast at the throne of grace. In my time of need, I have need now to be clothed in honor. I have need to be clothed in glory. I have need to be clothed in the riches of heaven. I want to walk out of the throne of grace wearing the riches of heaven. That's a very real inheritance that will manifest in a very real blessing. I want to come back clothed. You know, these men that catch the blessing of God, it just gets on them. They're not perfect. Some of you just wonder, I'm more spiritual than that person. I know you never thought that before. I have more knowledge than they got. I can break the book of Romans. They can't break the book of Romans. I can break the book of Hebrews. They can't break it, but they still got something on them that I don't have. Don't matter what kind of knowledge you have. It's what can you wear? What are you wearing? What are you willing to recognize of what you're wearing that's not lining up with God? Or are we still just kind of looking good? And it starts with a kind of recognition and humility that I'm not all that, God. I need a whole lot. And God said, I don't care how many weaknesses you have. That stuff doesn't matter. I don't care how many times you fail. That stuff doesn't matter. I don't care how many times you've crashed and burned. That stuff doesn't matter. It's, can you come and receive of my unmerited grace for every problem you have, for every shortfall, for every insufficiency? Can you recognize that you ain't all that and come and let me make you all that? Can I come into glory and stay there by faith? How do you do it? I'm just going in there presenting every day. I'm presenting myself. I'm going to say, I am going to sit here till you clothe me. I put off the old, I'm going to put on the new. And I'm going to sit in your glory until you clothe me. I'm going to be clothed in his honor. I just am. I'm telling you straight up, I'm going to be clothed in his glory. I just am. I'm going to be clothed in his power. Well, you're not perfect enough yet. Well, neither are you. Peter was full of imperfection, and he was the revivalist of the New Testament. He just found out how to wear it. I saw, I'm like, Lord, I'm just going to put all this stuff aside and find out how to wear Christ. I want to put on the new man. I want to come into the right hand of God and come out wearing something now. I've learned to access. We've learned to enter in. We've learned to identify what's in there. We've learned to make our request in there. We've been doing it for several years now. But now I want to learn to make the exchange. I want to exchange my weaknesses, though they be many, for his strength, though it be much. This is what Paul realized when that strong man came at him. This is ripping him to pieces, man. Paul realized this, that strong man came hard at him. He says, God, get this thing off of me. Everywhere I go, there he is. Trouble in the countryside. Troubles upon the waters. Perils in with the brethren. A night and a day in the deep. I can't go anywhere that this strong man is right there. How many of you ever had a strong man just attach himself to you? It's wherever you turn, there he is. Boom. Turn around, there he is. You try to run to another. I ran to three cities trying to get rid of mine. He followed me. Caused trouble in each city. I'll find a city where the grass is greener. Went over to this city. Finally found out where it lives. I'm going to have to go into the city of the living God if I'm going to get rid of my enemies. It says, Paul, my grace is sufficient. He wasn't telling him, just deal with it, Paul. My grace is enough to get you through. It's not what he's saying. My grace is sufficient, Paul. Whatever that thing's doing to you, whatever you're going through, necessity, reproach, he says, I'd rather glory in my infirmities. Whatever he brings, my grace is more powerful to clothe you than what he's trying to clothe you with. It is sufficient to overcome every single thing that he puts upon you. My grace is that much more powerful. He says, I'll rather glory in this stuff. Bring it on. Whatever you put on me, I'll take it off. Whatever you put on me, I'll take it off. That's where we're going next. We're going in for transformation now. The door has been opened for transformation. We're going to the throne of grace. Some of us have to take poverty off and debt and lack and need. We've been wearing it for 25 years, done everything we know to get it off of us. We have to take it off now and put on his royalty, put on his glory, put on. Say, put it on. Put it on. Wear it. Now, the way you don't do that is get on your knees and say, Father, bring it to me. Here I am, God. Bring it to me. No. You have to get to where he is. That's his qualification. Come unto me, all you that labor. Let us draw near. Come boldly unto the throne of grace. You got to step out from where you are, whatever you're wearing, and realize if I can get this to him, he'll take it off. Yeah, let's give him glory. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, listen to this. This is a great verse. Psalms 30:11. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness. Put off, put on. Put off, put on. We'll close with this. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. According to his divine power, given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. What does his divine power give you? All things. Say all things. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature. Everyone say, I am a partaker of the divine nature. I am coming in for transformation. That's where we're headed, my friends. We're coming in for transformation. We're moving to transformation now. The place where he's going to remove the spot and wrinkle. We're going to remove our spot and wrinkle. He's going to conform us to his image. He's going to restore the image of sons as heirs. The enemy surely doesn't want you to be a son or an heir to all the Father has. Without that image intact, you cannot receive because there's a veil that's stopping the reception. Father, restore. Restore. I want you to close your eyes. It's the weight of his glory to cover us today. And take some things off today. As you come up to this altar, I want you to close your eyes. It's just you and you and your priesthood with the Father and your inner sanctuary. I want you, the Holy Ghost, open your eyes to what you might be wearing right now. Some are wearing bitterness, unforgiveness. It might be unworthiness. It might be reproach. It may be generational bondage. The first step to return to the Father. We're going to bring this to Him today. I want you to bring it to Him by faith. Take your first step toward Him today to take it off. To take it off today. To come boldly to the throne of grace we come today, Lord. To come boldly to the throne, the throne, the throne of grace, to exchange our past, to exchange the reproach, to exchange the unworthiness, to exchange our attitudes, to exchange our uncleanness for your purity, to exchange. To exchange. Exchange right now. Exchange. We bring it to you, Lord. We bring it before you today. We bring it before you today, Lord. We bring it before your throne of grace. Before your throne of grace, in holy surrender, we relinquish it today, Lord. We relinquish it today. We relinquish it. We relinquish it. We bring those garments and we lay them down. We bring that clothing and we lay it down. We bring the old. We put off the old. We put off the old. We put off the old. We take it off today. We cast off.